This is the Basil Update for November 13th, 2016. I'm Filippo DeNolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
It's been a bit of a week this week. I mean, lots of stuff seems to have happened. But we're not going to talk about any of that stuff, because that's not what this show's for.
We got Friday.
We got all of the negative vibes out, and I think we're good for a little while. But we will talk about some more negative vibes when it comes to the NES Classic Edition release. And yeah. But before we get to that crap, let's talk about what we're playing, because what do I have today this week? Nothing. So yeah, you, Pat.
Very little. Mostly I'm just spending the time learning my new job. Still so happy to be there. I am such a good fit here that if I'd known about it, you know, if I'd known that it would have gone this way ahead of time, I probably would have done it 2 years ago or so. What gaming I have been doing, apart from my usual Magic the Gathering, has been a little bit of Final Fantasy XIV, as you would expect. A little Drive Club, as I sort of foreshadowed on last week's episode. And I'm just amazed at how much that game has grown since I played it last. If it's been a while since you've since you last played Drive Club and you picked up the season pass, check it out, because you're in for a treat.
Yeah, if you haven't picked up the season pass, now it's probably a good time to do it, because there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. And then there's some expansion stuff too that you can download, and just get ready for a hell of a big patch, because
it's like 20 gig patch.
Yeah. For good reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's about it for me this week. How about you, Brandon?
Trails of Cold Steel. I'm just about through with it. I'm on the last section of the game. I just finished all the stuff over at one of my party members' hometown, and then after that is done, we head over to the fortress, which is where the game itself started in Media Res. So yeah, I'm getting ready for that. Once again, I have to emphasize, just as with Trails in the Sky, but even more so for this game, don't play it on an empty stomach, because you will regret it.
Yeah.
Do
you plan to jump into Cold Steel 2, like, right after you finish
the
first one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I already got a copy reserved over at GameStop, so.
Nice.
But yeah, as soon as I'm done with that, I'm jumping immediately over into Cold Steel 2.
So I just have one thing to say about that.
What's that?
Brandon?
Yeah?
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There goes all of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, because Cold Steel 2 is substantially longer than the first one is.
Yeah.
Much as Trails in the Sky was.
Yeah.
I'll be doing that. And that's pretty much what I've done this week. So what about you, Chris?
So I'm still knee-deep into Hitman. Just playing more of it. Did a good bit of stuff in the Sapienza map, which is the second episode. Exploring some more of the challenges that they have in the little extra section that has some pretty neat stuff. There's one where I got to shoot six inflatable like alligator rafts that are hidden around the level. That is certainly a challenge, especially when shooting them arouses guard attention every single time. So it's like trying to shoot one, then running and hiding, waiting for the AI to go, "Rah, rah, rah, we're going to find this guy," and then We can't find it. Back to our post.
So it's basically turned from Hitman into Minor Vandal.
Somewhat. I know I've definitely suggested to the Hitman guys that there needs to be a Wet Bandit challenge for each of the maps. Turn on each of the sinks in a level at least once. And apparently they sent it along, so hopefully that'll happen, because that would be funny to see.
Yeah.
As I was doing that with one of the bathroom areas, it has a bunch of sinks. You see the AI just freaking out when it runs by. It's like, oh, there's a sink, I better turn it off. Oh, there's another sink, I better turn that off. Oh, there's another sink, I better turn that off. Just getting to them, and it's like, oh, here comes the rat into the spider's nest.
Yeah.
Time to take it out. Playing more of that, and also playing more of the newest episode in Hokkaido, and playing around with the various ways of killing the main dude in the surgery area, which included trying to shut down the AI, which was tough enough as it is, because you have to get the director's outfit, which is the only outfit I've seen where he actually puts on a wig with the outfit itself. Usually everybody else that you're taking their outfits, you just stay bald.
Yeah.
But this guy has like a Beatles-ish kind of haircut, so it's just weird seeing him put on a wig with that. And trying to get to the actual part where the AI mainframe is, it's tough because there are quite a few guys there that are able to point out that you're a fraud. And so it's like me trying to lure these guys around so I can take them out and hide their bodies, just to open up something of a open path through, which is easier said than done.
Yeah.
I managed to do some more there, and look forward to putting some more time into it as I find new things to do. That is pretty cool.
Is this it for levels that they're going to be releasing, or are there
for this season?
Yeah,
I think they've talked very much about doing a season 2, and sort of just building it onto this little hub version of the game. So should have more stuff coming, I'm guessing, next year. And very much looking forward to that, especially since you're able to carry these items that we've unlocked into those levels. So have like the rubber ducky explosive and the gun that is able to get past pat downs, things like that, that will be exciting to see what crazy things they come up with for next season. As they found a great way of distributing these levels. Along with that, doing more work on the PS4 Pro. Just downloading more games. Hitman was one of those. And it seems to load a little bit better. Probably looks a little bit better, but it already looked really good before. So it's like aliasing stuff. It's probably hard to notice unless you're specifically taking screenshots and comparing them.
Yeah.
I was also playing both of the Infamous games on PS4, and I'd almost forgotten how fun those games are, and forgotten where I was in those two, because the Second Son, I was in the middle of an evil expert run, which is sort of trying to clean up the rest of the trophy, so now I have a good reason to continue on with that.
Yeah.
Be able to just kill everybody without any care in the world, because I'm trying to be the evil guy.
Yeah.
Evil guy who paints weird murals around the place. Also played a bit of Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor, which the thing that holds that back on any sort of visual improvements is that you can tell it was a cross-gen game.
Yeah.
Like the grass has that very much like
flat look,
old school, not flat, it's just like, oh, here's like the little lines of grass that sticks out of the ground. It's like very clear, unnatural look when you're up in towers. Yeah. Such a look down at the ground. And that might just be because it's removing details as you go up higher.
Yeah.
But once you get down, it starts looking a lot better and a lot cleaner is more the good thing. As I am also sort of in the point where I'm cleaning up side missions and such, and also have the expansions that I can play in that, though when I was starting it up, I didn't realize it was installed, but when you go into the game, it has to install more.
Yep.
Weird. It's like, oh, you can't play this save until it's finished installing. It's like 20%, 21%. Oh, I'm going to stay here for a while.
Yeah.
I wish you would have installed this when I put the disc in.
Yeah, that's...
It's one of the weirdest games I've seen with that sort of stuff. Usually it's, you put it in, it stalls, and it's good to go.
Yeah.
Except for, like, the one update, the latest update.
Yeah. Otherwise, Mafia 3 is even worse, though.
Ah.
Yeah. It's, you install the game from the disc, and then you have to download a whole bunch of stuff before it's even playable.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's kind of stretching the ready-to-play thing a little bit thin, I think.
Yeah. What else have I been playing? I also been playing some PlayStation VR stuff. Trying out some of the stuff that's supposed to be improved with PS4 Pro. So I put in Drive Club VR, and I'll probably have to do a video of that. It doesn't seem much improved. Like, it's still blurry in the distance. But also, I just picked the cruise mode. Hmm. Just drive around a track. And the random time it picked was night, so I couldn't really look at details or anything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's black in the distance. Okay. That doesn't really do much for me. So I'll have to try again with that later on.
Hmm.
What else? Played a little bit of the Playroom VR, which is a cool little thing. That's very much one of the games that emphasizes the social screen stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of them say, like, oh, I have 2 to 5 people with you. And because one of them is, oh, I am going to shoot the bad guy in this saloon. And the people watching the regular TV are seeing who is the specific guy that's the bad one. They're describing him to you.
Yeah.
There's other ones like, oh, you're in the ghost. You're catching ghosts in this spooky room. And some of the ghosts they can see, some you can see. And so you got to have to work together for that to catch them all.
Yeah.
And, that game does some really cool stuff, especially with the microphone, where it sort of takes in the feed and displays it in-game as well. So I know one of them is sort of a kaiju thing where you're this big monster that's destroying the town, and it warps your voice into kind of a chipmunk kind of voice as you're doing that. It's like, ah, I'll kill you, that sort of thing. And so that seems like of the games, like, you can show people and sort of get them into VR. That's one of them, like one of the Wii Sports kind of games that explains it really well.
Yeah.
Especially the social part of it. So, yeah, that's been largely what I've been doing. Still just trying to get stuff downloaded. And because I got stuff here, it's like 30, 40 gigs, and it's like, oh, that's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm also trying to download other stuff.
Yeah. Have you noticed, like, the PS4 downloads any quicker than the standard one does, or seems about the same?
It seems about the same, though. I'm guessing my router is not necessarily the 5 gigahertz router, so I probably need to get a new one if I'm going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
But even then, my internet connection is not that fast, so it might not necessarily just be the PS4 itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The dashboard is nice and snappy with this. And they do a good job with the save stuff. Anything that's downloaded on your system and your list of, like, cloud saves, Yeah. That stuff is up at the top
okay.
of the list. So you're not necessarily searching like, oh, I had that one downloaded or that one downloaded, that sort of thing. Though if you sit there and select all saves and try and download them even though you don't have most of them on there, it ends up in this weird loop of, oh, you don't have this one. You have to click OK to acknowledge it. You don't have this one either. Okay. But if you just hit the PlayStation button, it'll just back you out of all of that. So I figured, like, no, I don't want to sit here and back out of 300 menus telling me it's not, the save isn't available.
Yeah.
So, so far so good.
Hmm.
And, I think we can move on.
Cool. So as I talked about a little bit earlier in the show, the NES Classic Edition was released on Friday. And,
immediately disappeared.
Yeah, immediately sold out. This is largely due to the fact that most stores got less than 10 units.
Yeah. I'm still in contact with the people at the Walmart store that I worked at.
Yeah.
And I heard from there that they had 12 units allocated to them, and they were gone within 15 minutes.
Yep.
And I responded by saying I wasn't sure what surprised me more, that we got 12 units or that they lasted 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but this seems to be, Nintendo's MO. It's basically they launch a system and nobody can get it.
Yep.
Make a bunch of money for people who aren't them, and then release the real quantities after the demand is gone.
Well, except for the Wii U. That was available on launch day.
Yeah, it was available on launch day.
Apparently nobody wanted that.
It also kind of hit with a thud.
Yeah. This, though, I find it funny that there's a huge demand for a system that they released 30 years ago. That doesn't really speak too strongly of Nintendo's current lineup, to be honest.
Yeah.
But
well, it's also a fucking clue about what people like about them.
Yeah. So, they should really take that into consideration.
Yeah, this is an easier version of that old console for the people that played it back in the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's still kind of lost on me. I just don't get the appeal without eShop access.
Yeah.
The 30 games that come packaged on it are the only games that will ever be on it.
Yeah.
And that is going to wear thin eventually. I don't see that having lasting appeal.
Yeah, it's for the price that it's supposed to be, it's not that bad of a deal. But
that's not the actual price.
Yeah, well, it will be the actual price if you are patient enough to wait. So that's what, as we alluded to, like eBay scalpers are already in full force, with some people having $1,500 buy it nows. I don't think they're going to sell them at $1,500, to be brutally honest. But,
you only need one
sucker. Have happened over the holidays.
Yeah, maybe. But, they're looking at the sold auctions here, and people seem to be willing to pay $200 to $400 for that, which is still ridiculous to me. Because for $200, you could go to Retro USB and get the Retro USB AVS, which is
a lot of people probably don't know about, unfortunately.
Yeah. Which is
unfortunate. They want to hunt down all the games to go with it.
Yeah. But, for that price, I would do it. Have a system that it has the four score multi tap already in there. It's HDMI already out of the box.
Shit, at that price, you're almost looking at Analog NT.
Analog NT is $500.
Yeah. Well, you said $200 to $400, so
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Once you get up to the top end of that, you might as well,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the AVS is a little bit a better deal because it's in FPGA based, so. Yeah. It's cheaper to produce because the Analog NT is, it's basically the regular hardware just modified.
Made by purists.
Yeah. So I would go FPGA because that's updatable. If they find issues, they know how to fix that.
Yeah.
And Retro USB, they've been doing reproductions and homebrew stuff for years, so they know their shit. So
yeah. Now, what if Nintendo made a new version of this that had eShop access?
It's coming. I mean,
in that case, take my money.
Yeah.
But I just can't I can't feel the hype for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, I've had people
the Wii Connect or NES controllers are brilliant.
Yeah.
That's probably the best thing to come out of all of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So some people have actually taken the lid off this thing to look at the board, and they found the SoC that's in there is actually more powerful than the Wii. It's kind of overkill for NES games, but I think this kind of shows that Nintendo's basically looking ahead here. They're going, they're just going to do one.
This is a product line.
Yeah, one board, use that same chip across the whole product line that they're going to do. So they'll probably do SNES and N64 and hell, maybe even GameCube. You never know.
Yeah.
So
that just gave me an idea, but do go on.
So, yeah. And, well, I'm pretty sure somebody is going to hack the crap out of that thing anyway. So.
Oh, yeah.
It won't take long for somebody to figure out how to put more stuff onto it. So we shall wait and see. And when I can actually get one for the price it's supposed to be at, well, I'll probably pick one up because that'd be a pretty good gift for my,
mm-hmm.
You'd probably enjoy it. Hopefully. So that's the NES Classic. You can't get it. Yep. But if you call the Nintendo Power Hotline, they'll advertise it to you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not only will they advertise it, but they've also got a couple of people who are former
game counselors.
Counselors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
all pre-recorded, obviously, but still.
Yeah. It's still really cool. Basically they tell about, their experience and, give away, talk about some of the more, they give some of the more famous tips, like, getting the New Game Plus in Zelda or the code for, Samus without her armor in Metroid.
Yeah.
And, of course, the numerical code for Star Tropics that a lot of people didn't know.
Yeah.
Because
didn't have the manual.
Well, they had the manual, they just didn't have that letter that comes with it.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, in Star Tropics, the game in box comes with this letter from your character's father.
Yeah.
And the thing is, at a certain point in the game, you're asked to take this letter and put it in water. And putting it in water will reveal the hidden numerical code that you need to get past that point in the game.
Yeah.
And as the game counselor himself said, it got to the point where if somebody called and said he was playing Star Tropics, he would just immediately say 7470.
Because they knew exactly what they were calling for. Yeah. So.
Yeah, what's weird is these versions don't even have the manual. It's a link to the website where they have all the manuals at.
PDFs. Yeah.
I actually want to talk about that a little bit because what they did here is actually pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's not just PDFs. They're not just scans. They took the original print material and remade them.
Yep.
So, you get the best quality manuals you could possibly get are there. So if you want to print them out, you can print them and bind them and have your own new manual collection if you really dig that.
That's a thing we should do on Let's Weekend at some point. A lost art of game manuals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because those manuals back in the day were pretty elaborate.
Yeah,
especially if you saw like old Zelda or in particular, which were fully illustrated throughout.
Yeah.
Or they just looked like shit, like the Mega Man 2 one.
But, yeah. But yeah, so it's cool that they did that. Not really much more to say about the NES Classic other than I still kind of want one, but I'm not paying $300 for one.
Nope.
So, for retro gaming purposes, there is such better places you can put your money.
Yeah. And pick up, like I said, one of those retro USB AVSs and an EverDrive, and you're good to go. So that's all you really need. Yeah. So moving on, we got NVIDIA's Jensen Huang, who's been talking up the Nintendo Switch. He had some pretty interesting things to say. Bruce, so you want to tell us about it?
Yeah. Quote whatever. Is coming from Hardcore Gamer, I believe. Let's see. Cannot immediately find another source for this. But several hundred engineering years have gone into the development of this incredible game console. I really believe when everybody sees it and enjoy it, sick, they're going to be amazed by it. It's really like nothing they've ever played with before, and of course the brand, their franchise, and their game content is incredible, and so I think this is a relationship that will likely last 2 decades, and I'm super excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know.
It's a bold statement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is the head of NVIDIA, so he, you know, should be pretty hyped for this.
Yeah.
NVIDIA hasn't been in a console since PS3, so yeah. that's been a while. Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see how that ends up turning out. Nintendo really needs to start giving us some more info, and, well, they've announced when we're going to get that info, but
still. 2 months to go.
2 months to go to wait until we figure out what the hell this thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm presuming that as Jensen Huang made those statements, he was, in fact, wearing his leather jacket because he's never yeah. without it.
So, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, good stuff on the Switch. We will wait. We're optimistic about the Switch, but knowing Nintendo, somehow they'll manage to screw it up. That's usually the attitude to go into this with.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly certain that when the Switch launches, you won't be able to get it anyway. So that's probably how that's going to go.
Yeah.
Anyways, if you want a Wii U, you'd better get one now because they ain't making them anymore.
Nope.
I'm sure the remaining units will be lingering in retail for quite some time.
Yeah. And they'll never drop in price because Nintendo.
Yeah.
That will be something actually kind of stupid if that ends up happening. If the Wii U still stays at $249 and the Switch is at launches at $249 or $299, that's going to be a very dumb move.
Yeah. It's going to be awkward.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, anybody have anything else to say on the Wii U going away? Or
maybe they're going to leave it up to retailers to clearance them out.
Yeah.
It would be kind of a dick move, but it would also be kind of a Nintendo move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let the retailers eat the loss. Joy. Well, Black Friday is coming up, so I'm pretty sure we're probably yep. going to see Wii U deals.
Bargain
on that.
Basement prices.
Yeah.
Man,
bottom of the barrel.
Oh, if I could find one for $149, yeah, I'll get one at that price. Hell.
Yeah.
So we like finding games that nobody knew existed, and we got 4 new ones that just surfaced recently. 4 new mm-hmm. Kirby Satellaview prototypes showed up.
Hmm.
They found them at an auction somehow. I'm not entirely sure how they ended up there.
Yeah, the way the Satellaview worked is that the game that's on the cartridge is the last one you downloaded.
Yeah.
Yep.
So these just happen to be the last games whoever had these downloaded. And Frank Cifaldi, preservationist extraordinaire, found these auctions. Didn't have the money himself, but seems like he crowdsourced some funds to get these auctions won, which cost about $813 total.
They're in good hands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I guess this was supposed to be like a collection of 10 games.
Hmm.
So, we now have 4 of them at least.
Yeah. Hmm. I wonder if Nintendo still has those kicking around somewhere.
Maybe.
Surprised.
You never know.
But also, Japanese tradition is to delete all of your stuff.
Delete all the things, yes.
Yeah. We don't need this anymore.
Yeah. So.
Especially for network services from the late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not bitter or anything.
No. But, yeah, Frank Cifaldi went ahead and grabbed those, and, yeah. We are big fans of Frank Cifaldi over here. because mm-hmm. we like what he does, not just with the Digital Eclipse and all the cool emulation stuff that he's done, some of which have been more successful than others, but, you know, I like the thought of it.
Yeah, he started his own Video Game History Foundation to try to collect and preserve as much of the history of the industry as he can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some cool stuff going on with the work he's doing.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into some RPG news. Pat, Compile Heart. We got some lots of stuff on the calendar for 2017.
Yeah, their release calendar had more or less dried up at this point, and so they decided to just make a series of announcements to kind of make up for that and give people some idea of their pipeline again. Headlining the list is Dark Rose Valkyrie, which I think we've talked about once before on this show. They're utilizing a lot of staff from the Tales franchise, which does unfortunately mean real-time combat, action RPG. Seems to be borrowing some concepts from, what was it? I reviewed it, Lost Dimension. And in that there is a traitor in your midst and you have to do some detective work to figure out who it is.
Yeah.
It's coming this spring and really looking forward to that one. There's a new Hakuoki coming, Kyoto Winds. Also coming in spring. It's more of a visual novel type of series. Mary Skelter Nightmares, Summer 2017. It's more of a turn-based game. Not sure if it... Oh, it's a dungeon crawler. Cool.
Fun.
Yeah. A little bit unusual for Compile Heart, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then also Fairy Fencer F Advent Dark Force was confirmed, which was on PS4 this year. It's going to find its way to Steam early next year.
Hmm. Not enough Fs in that title.
Oh. Three Fs.
Four of the six.
Yeah.
Let's see. And that looks to be it for the time being. But
yeah. Still, it's...
It's a strong lineup.
Yeah. You know, Compile Heart, they do some pretty esoteric stuff, so if you like the more quirky types of RPGs, I think you're going to be well served in 2017 there.
Oh yeah.
Gotta go back there and find out if any of those are being released under the Galapagos studio, because that makes games stand out.
Yeah.
Galapagos is the label that they launched a couple years ago for unapologetic, traditional, classical JRPGs.
Yeah.
And they're not saying anything about it, but I'm sure at least one of these games falls under that label.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So, yeah, looking forward to those.
Yep. Yeah, for those of you looking forward to Persona 5.
The time has come.
Yeah, English live stream going to be Wednesday, so if you want to actually see the English version of the game, finally. Yeah, you'll be able to on Wednesday. It's going to be a pretty substantial stream. Lots of interaction going on, as Atlus is known to do.
Yeah, they never go halfway with their live streams.
Yeah.
They are all major productions.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to get a good look at Persona 5 before February 14th, this will be your shot. So,
check
it out. I will not, because that is not a game I am interested in. But I know a lot of people, you folks are, so go for it. Now, this next one I really don't know much about, so you're going to have to fill me in here.
Yeah, so this is the latest game from Yasuhiro Wada, the creator of the Harvest Moon series.
Okay.
It is called Birthdays the Beginning, which is a dinosaur Harvest Moon, kind of. Like a weird Florida dinosaur sim thing, where it's kind of like a mix of Spore and Harvest Moon, but with dinosaurs called Birthdays, because of course.
Because of course it is.
So this was picked up, this was shown at TGS, it's like a little indie thing. And then NIS America picked it up. Hmm. And yeah, it's a very cutesy game, if you've seen the article. Very much got that Harvest Moon cutesy vibe. I'm looking at their Game Informer's preview from TGS. Yeah, very much has a story mode. Your boy's reading a book that his grandpa gave him, and somehow finds his way into this world. Hmm. And let's see, you're tasked with forming plant life. Has a challenge mode. Skip the story with that. Story's minimal since it's a simulation game anyway.
Yeah.
But he wanted to give players something to connect with. So he describes it as going back into your childhood and explaining something that happened when you're a little kid.
Hmm.
So the main gameplay is simple. You're raised in lower land, affecting its temperature and climate. This in turn affects the type of organisms that evolve in it. Map sizes grow to bigger proportions throughout the game, testing how far you can take your godlike powers. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Kind of a bit of a Pokemon gotta collect them all sort of thing. You can evolve pretty much everything that's in there. Flowers, jellyfish, dinosaurs, even cavemen, monkeys, elephants, T-Rexes, humans, all that sort of stuff.
Hmm.
So yeah, it seems it's going to be one of those wacky, crazy Japanese games that only they could make.
Yeah. And I'm sure this will basically eat up all of Teresa's time when it comes out, because this sounds right up her alley.
Yep, so they're going to be doing a stream on Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time to Pacific, and it's on Monday. So they're also going to do a Reddit AMA at the same time, or right after. So yeah. Seems like about an hour and a half after that, so should be a bunch of info happening this week.
All right. So if you haven't played Overwatch in a while, or at all, for that matter, and you missed the last free weekend, you got another shot at it.
Yep.
November 18th to the 21st. All platforms, it will be a free download. You can just go ahead and download it, get in, and get addicted, and then you'll have to spend $60 because that's just how that's going
to
go.
And you're going to have all new modes and a brand new character to play with. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be jumping in basically at the latest update, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
great time to get in and see what all the fuss about Overwatch is, because it's a quality game.
Yeah. Time to hurry up and join the sensation.
Yeah, as Blizzard is known to do. Wonder when that new Diablo update's going to actually roll out to consoles. But anyway.
Yeah, I know it's out now on their test servers.
Yeah.
People have been writing about that, saying it's not as much as you would... probably want. It's like a Diablo remake sort of thing.
Hmm.
But it's basically what you expect, is like a dungeon to go through.
Yeah.
Mm.
Hey, I'm okay with it. It's free. So yeah. I'm not overplaying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I don't think we've actually ever talked about the Ubisoft and the attempted Ubisoft takeover by Vivendi before.
It's been on the show once or twice.
Yeah.
We might have talked about it.
Basically, all you need to know is that gigantic conglomerate Vivendi is trying to slowly but surely devour Ubisoft by any means necessary.
Yep.
And Ubisoft has not been quiet about that either.
No, they're,
that's how they ended their E3 presentation. It's like, yo, these assholes are trying to buy us. Fuck all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, Vivendi has managed 24% of Ubisoft's stock so far. Yeah.
Yeah, they got about 21% of the voting rights.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, for a company
they
like
call it's what they call a hostile takeover.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely, they're trying to buy up as much stock as they can until they get a majority stake in the company.
Yeah.
So at that point, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that point, it doesn't really matter what, you know, the heads at Ubisoft say at that point.
Yeah, it's basically...
But that's the risk you take when you go public.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you go public, and one day you might wake up and you don't own your company anymore, so...
Yep.
yeah, that's how that goes.
Yeah, though these guys are watching it happen before their eyes.
Yeah.
Which is even worse.
Yeah.
And for people that don't know, Ubisoft was founded by a group of brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they have splintered off into Gameloft, which made mostly mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
That got bought up by Vivendi.
Yeah.
And then now Ubisoft is their next target.
Yeah.
Yep.
Vivendi. Don't like them very much.
Oh.
Yeah, they managed to screw up Sierra, so... You know, I'm kind of still a little bit bitter about that.
Yeah. Might be time to start getting out all that old trust bus legislation.
Yeah.
Of course, technically, they're all French companies, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I'm sure France has some trust bus legislation, so.
Yeah. I'll have to get the French government and stuff involved and see where that ends up going. But think of it as, given Ubisoft's current practices when it comes to their games, I don't think anything's really going to change over there. So,
yeah.
It's just more a matter of the owners are just not happy that they're not going to own their company anymore. So,
right.
Yeah. So we've been waiting for this for a while. I know, Brandon, you have been eagerly anticipating an actual content-rich trailer for Mass Effect Andromeda.
And we have one.
Yes.
And it looks great.
It looks gorgeous. And, yeah, given this is a new story arc, if you haven't played the other Mass Effects, this is probably going to be a good place to jump in.
Yep.
So, yeah.
It's basically, it's more or less cut off from, you know, the original Mass Effect trilogy. It's primarily set way out in the Andromeda system.
Yeah.
So far away from, you know, the Milky Way and just Citadel space in general.
Yeah.
So,
all of humanity has escaped to the Andromeda Galaxy.
Yeah.
So you're leading them to hopefully their future.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, they've already sort of gone and shown some of your crewmates who it is you're going to be playing. Instead of, like, with in the Mass Effect trilogy where you are Commander Shepard and you just customize every aspect of Commander Shepard, instead you have a pair of siblings, one brother and one sister, and you pick one of them and then
Ryder.
Customize them.
Named Ryder.
Yep. Hmm.
So that's how you get past the name part. Is they're both twins?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
There's some other characters. There's a PB who is she's an Asari.
Hmm.
But she isn't like Liara or a lot of the other Asari you meet in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
These particular she's a bit more spunky and has a tendency to run off and do her own thing. So,
yeah.
We're going to meet a bunch of new aliens. They're making a point that exploration is going to be a really big, major part of this game.
Yeah.
This particular game. They're bringing the Mako back, which, for those of you who don't remember, that was the ground vehicle that you piloted in the first Mass Effect.
Yeah.
But it's an updated version, so
as long as we don't have giant sandworms, I'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
Fucking giant sandworms.
Yeah, I know they have like a remote control version of the ship, the little rover ship, whatever they call it, that you can buy.
Mm.
Yep.
For probably too much money.
Yeah.
But isn't it like the law that there must always be sandworms?
That's one tradition of RPGs that really needs to die, because I'm really overseeing
it. Well, the spike must...
At this point it was like a legal obligation.
But, Bill, you forget, the spice must flow.
Oh, yes, it must.
Yeah, $200.
New references.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I'm really super anticipating it. going to be... I don't think they've announced a... Well, they said that it's going to be out in probably around second quarter of next year, so around spring, I guess.
Yeah, the trailer says spring 2017.
Yeah. So it could be April, have that it could much be June. Longer.
Early summer.
Yeah.
So we don't have that much longer to wait, fortunately.
Yeah.
Just a few months.
Is day one purchase for you?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be day one purchase for me. That is...
Shouldn't even be a question.
Yeah. Also, just for anybody who's wondering, both Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3 are now going to be backwards compatible on the Xbox One. People are wondering, well, why not the first Mass Effect?
Well, first one already is.
Yeah, first one already is.
This is one of the first ones available.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot of people like, what the hell's going on with the second and third?
Yay. That's what's
now
going
you
on.
Now you can play the whole trilogy on your Xbox One.
Yeah.
So, enjoy it. Yeah. It's a great series.
Yep. Don't expect it to be master because it's not going to happen.
Yeah. The series may be imperfect in parts, but overall it is one of the truly great gaming experiences you will ever have.
Yeah. We shall wait for springtime.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, the Xbox One holiday firmware update released. This is the one that adds looking for games, clubs, tournaments. That's all that stuff got added in this time.
And that weird rare achievement pop-up?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's all there. What they also
emojis.
Emojis, yeah. They also opened up the preview program to everybody now. It's no longer that you need an invite. You can just download the Insider Hub and register your console. So, yeah. If you want to like test out early previews of the new firmwares.
So many people are going to do this who don't know what they're getting into.
I'm in there, and it's fun when your console just spontaneously reboots for no apparent reason. Just saying.
Yeah, or you have no idea if your console is updated or not.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, do I have this update? I don't know. What's in the update? I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't ever tell you when things happen.
Yeah. Well, you have to go and check the stupid app there.
Yeah, the app.
Yeah, the Insider Hub, which they've redesigned. It's actually quite nice now. All of the announcements, so the information on the updates that just got released are front and center now, so you can see what that was actually changed. You can see new issues, and there's the quests and the surveys and the polls and stuff that's all in there. So, yeah, they're doing a pretty good job there. It's just hope that people understand that, yes, you're getting into betas, and that means that things will break. Like, I think one of the weirdest things I've had was I've had achievements popped for games I've never played.
Mm.
So that was awesome. Yeah.
The worst thing for me was trying to turn on the Xbox One with the controller and it wouldn't work. You have to go and sit there and turn it on the console itself.
Yeah.
That's how I knew I had updates.
Yeah.
First world problems, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Still can't say eject disk.
No, they haven't figured that one out yet, apparently.
Nope.
So, yeah. Check that out if you're interested. If you're, interested, I mean, now. If you're on an Xbox One, you've got this update by now, so. Yeah. Now you can find people playing Forza Horizon 3 and Killer Instinct all you want. So, in news that shouldn't surprise any of us, SNK is considering rebooting Samurai Showdown.
Yeah, I've covered that several times over the past year or so. Tecmundo has an interesting capability of getting very direct statements out of Namco's Katsuhiro Harada.
Hmm.
back in April, they got him to straight up say that he'd love to buy the rights to Samurai Showdown and work on a brand new installment at Namco. This week, during King of Iron Fist North American Finals, Tecmundo talked to Harada again, who said that he would rather just buy the rights and make a new Samurai Showdown title. It is a distant dream, but a dream. And then he said, while he made the previous statement in a joking manner, he did say he'd love to make a new Samurai Showdown title if given the chance, or at the very least a crossover.
Yeah.
Or a collaboration or something to that effect.
Because, I mean, Harada is no stranger to weapon-based fighters. I mean, he's done, you know, Soul Calibur series, so he knows what he's doing there.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur versus Samurai Showdown crossover would not be all that out there, really.
They're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're implemented much differently, but the ideas are the same.
Yeah.
Yep. So. Now, here's the question. How do you envision a rebooted Samurai Showdown to appear?
Anything but Sen.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking they're going to follow the same formula that they used for KOF 14. You know, 3D models, 3D stages, and just nice animation.
Put out a one-off game that kind of establishes the characters for new audiences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go 3D like they tried to on the Hyper Neo Geo, because that didn't work.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that it stays 2D, and that's pretty much how I think they do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Street Fighter and King of Fighters both have a template for that, so...
Yeah.
Now, if you crossed it over with Soul Calibur, you're going into a completely different category, you know, altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I think you'd have to go full 3D and almost just adopt all the characters into the Soul Calibur engine.
Yeah.
Which isn't impossible. There are a few aspects of the characters that you'd probably have to get creative working around. But it's not impossible by any stretch. I mean, you've got Guard Impact on one side and Just Defense on the other.
Yeah.
Those are very similar mechanics. I'm under the impression that that Neo G, if anyone, will be working on the new Samurai Showdown, but I wouldn't mind if they got on the phone with Harada and, you know, saw what they could hash out.
Yeah. So, yeah, Harada wouldn't be a bad person to have helping out with something like this, because, especially if they actually are considering going 3D. Just because they haven't done it, well, they've done it in the past and not been able to execute it properly.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean
he's their guy.
Yeah, because he's done it. He knows what works and what didn't. So,
he makes some of the finest 3D fighters.
Yeah. So, yeah. he could be a good resource to have. So, associate producer, hell, you never know.
As far as I'm concerned, they could do whatever they wanted and probably succeed. Just keep Daishi Otoshima the hell away from it. Just don't let him anywhere near that project.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm thinking we're going to hear some more SNK news from them in the not-too-distant future, like a few weeks.
What if this manifested itself in the form of a Last Blade project?
I'd be okay with that, too.
I would be enthusiastic about that, yes.
Yeah. Especially if they were able to tap Ishiwatari again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
And bring in his composing and wonderful character design skills.
Yeah. So, and this is the kind of SNK that actually would do it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they're not, they don't seem like they're opposed to bringing in outside talent, even if it's for a one-off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I can't wait. I want.
That being said, I think Ishii Watari is more or less his own boss at this point, so.
Yeah, so I mean, if he wants to take on a project like this, he could. Yep. Yeah. Arc System Works is doing, you know, does contract work, so, yeah. Could do. Could happen.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Just make sure he doesn't spread himself too thin, because when Ishii Watari gets into a project, he gets into a project.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if this puts a couple years between us and the next Blaze Blue game, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, because they've been milking that a little too much, to be brutally honest.
Well,
yeah.
That's not really his... Blaze Blue isn't really his thing. Mm. That's, what's his name?
Ori?
Yeah, that's Ori's thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would mean, however, that it would be a couple years before we got another Guilty Gear.
Yeah.
I'd say, you know, that's probably all right as well. Revelator is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind if they let that ride, maybe drop one or two more characters in at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't need to drop a new Guilty Gear for another 2 or 3 years anyway.
Yeah.
So. Revelator's in a great place.
Yeah. Moving on. Well, we got confirmation that, Akuma will be coming to Street Fighter V, will be shown at PSX this year.
I knew those two select screen boxes were for something.
let's see, what else did we... Just saying, this V-Trigger is kind of implicating, like, might be a Shin Akuma transform.
So, yeah. Based on some of the design stuff that we've seen, that seems to be where it's going.
Yeah.
Be playable at PlayStation Experience in 3 weeks. More on that in a moment.
Yeah.
We don't know when he'll be coming to the main game, but I'm sure that that at Capcom Cup we're going to get some kind of an announcement to, I would guess, finish the year strong for Season 1 and get a lot of hype going for Season 2.
Yeah.
You think this will be a Season 1 extension and not a Season 2?
I really do.
Yeah,
I really believe this is going to be a sort of just sort of grand finale for Season 1. get some hype going. I think we're going to see a new packaged retail version of Street Fighter V announced that includes download vouchers for all Season 1 content.
Yeah,
and an arcade mode, hopefully.
In the data mining that we've seen, the arcade modes are there.
So that would come with time. If it's ready by that point, then it would be a part of it. Mm-hmm. If not, it would be in the pipeline. And we know all about it except for any actual formal announcement at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything like that, I'm sure they would talk about at Capcom Cup.
Yeah.
They really like to make big announcements there, so I don't think this year's going to be any different.
Yeah.
Right.
And it just so happens that Capcom Cup and PSX are, you know, basically at the same time.
Well, Capcom Cup is part of PlayStation Experience.
So. Exactly. It's like, So there.
So here's a question. We know that his super is definitely going to be Raging Demon.
Maybe.
You say...
What they like to do is give him that as a sort of extra super. Now, they didn't do this with 4, so make of that what you will. But generally, Akuma has a main super, and then he has Shungo Kusatsu as a sort of extra.
Yeah.
So here's my question. Has it ever been written or confirmed just what the hell he actually does during Raging Demon? Because basically all that happens is the screen goes black and then you see a bunch of hits and then, you know, the kanji and that's it.
Yeah, it's in some of the Japanese, how do I want to put it, supplemental works, I suppose. They're...
Mm-hmm.
There are books called All About Capcom and All About Street Fighter 03 that have a lot of content about it, and I'm pretty sure that that the actual nature of Shungo Kusatsu is a part of that. I just don't remember exactly what it entails.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, I think I remember. I'm not confident enough in my recollection to go into detail about it. But when I find the source on that, I'll let you know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And if anyone's interested, mention it on the Facebook page, and I'll bring it up on the show when I find it.
Okay. Yeah.
So, as we've been talking about PlayStation Experience, the guest list has shown up, and well, a lot of companies there. Usual suspects, obviously.
Yeah.
No real surprises that I could see.
Not really. It's mostly people we expect.
Yeah, a lot of.
I'm happy to see Gung Ho.
Yeah.
So it's mostly it's going to be Activision. EA is going to be there. Naughty Dog is going to be there.
Yeah. Or Anthony is there. SNK is there. Capcom is there. Supergiant.
What's Double
is
Fine
there.
Plugging?
Double Fine. Probably the Psychonauts sequel.
Yeah.
And their Psychonauts VR game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gung Ho. I really want to believe it's time for Grandia 4, but yeah. I know better.
Well, you never know. We'll see. Only 3 weeks left to find out.
Yep. Polyphony, no question what they're plugging.
Yeah,
SNK.
SNK, yeah. They're not going to go there just for KOF fixes, so
now,
you're going to have something.
PlayStation Experience is going to be days after the divorce is final and they are SNK Corporation.
Yeah.
They'll have launched their new website just less than a week prior.
Yep.
So
it's circle SNK on this list because they're going to do something and you know it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Also note Konami is not on this list. But
Konami is not on the list. I'm not sure whether to file that as a surprise or not because they have taken some interesting steps to kind of linger in the industry or to make steps back into it.
Yeah.
But apparently none of that is going to factor into PlayStation Experience.
Nope.
Mm. Zeboid Games is on the list, which is somewhat intriguing.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what Naughty Dog's planning. Are they getting ready to reveal their next game?
I would think so. I mean, they wouldn't go there
it
for sounds
just
four.
Yeah, it sounds, because it's about time.
Hmm.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a victory lap.
No.
That would be something.
Imagine they're showing their first single-player stuff for the Uncharted 2, or Uncharted 4. Because they got the DLC that's coming.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true.
We get two hype. Yeah. Supergiant's going to be there, so we're going to see more Pyre. That's always good.
Anytime I can see more Pyre. God damn it, Greg, I need that game in my life. So
yes.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, keep an eye out. That's 3 weeks. It's going to be live streamed, so you know it's not going to be any shortage of info coming out of there. And yeah, I think we've got. I think Danrib and Alex are both going, so
we will have some accounts from the show.
Yeah,
that will be good,
and maybe some future podcast guests. You never know.
Yes,
that's what happened last year.
Yeah, okay, okay. I just did some research. Okay, I found out what the Raging Demon actually is. Basically, what it says is that it's related to Gotetsu, and basically what it is it's an attack where the wielder gives itself completely over to murderous intent and inflicts a series of blows that are enhanced by the victim's karma.
Huh.
So the weight of all their sins and crimes comes back to harm them.
I've never heard that version.
Well, it's what it is on the Street Fighter wiki, so.
Nice. Hmm. And to go along with that, we should probably talk about the PS3's 10th anniversary, which is this year.
Oh, we are old.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah, and sort of
seventh
celebrate they've got a
was
big
long.
Sale for that going on.
Yeah.
On PSN, sort of a bunch of big stuff. We're going to have another one next week, sort of the second part.
Yeah, I took a look at this week's sales. Nothing really grabbed me.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's like a Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls for the PS4, Bloodborne Complete Edition, or the old Hunters DLC if you need that.
Mm.
Bunch of PS2 and PS1 stuff on there. including Symphony of the Night.
Yeah. This also applies to the Wii, by the way, because that's also 10 years
yeah.
old. Yeah, they're not having any special sale.
No.
Because it's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, no care. Nobody else is going to sale on anyway.
The Gunman Clive games. That's it for the Wii.
Yeah. Joy. Yeah, 10 years old. It's been, 11 years since we saw Genji Days of the Blade.
Oh.
And wish we hadn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. So I guess we'll wrap up with our Facebook discussion of the week, which is basically, we know that Nintendo's probably going to do a SNES Mini. So let's speculate on what 30 games would you include on that SNES collection? So I'll start off with a couple on my own, because you have to have, Link to the Past has to be on it.
Yeah, no question.
If you do a SNES collection and you don't include that, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Super Metroid also has to be on there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For Mario World, that's a given.
Yeah.
Yoshi's Island.
Yeah. That could take a leave.
Yeah. I wouldn't be offended if it was left off.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah. Mario Kart. F-Zero.
Yes, Mario Kart.
And F-Zero.
And F-Zero. Let's see. What about... Okay, so we'll need an RPG in there. What about Final Fantasy VI? Well, Final Fantasy III.
I think Earthbound. 4 and 6.
4 and 6?
4 and 6 or Chrono Trigger in 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got to throw Earthbound on there.
Yeah, Earthbound would be one that you could include.
What about...
Personally, what about? I think if they were going to put an RPG on there... they would do well to put Super Mario RPG, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because, solid. Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Just not at the expense of those other three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're limited to 30, you really have to figure out which of the RPGs you're going to put. Because you can't put, like, 6 RPGs on there.
Yeah, that's why I said Final Fantasy IV and 6 or Chrono Trigger and 6.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't see all three of those being on there.
Right. 6, Chrono Trigger, and Earthbound. That would actually be a pretty good lineup to have.
Yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what about, so we got, some major ones. What about, some sort of middle-tier, more cult games? Something Super akin Tennis. To Super Tennis. That was something akin to, Ice Climbers or Balloon.
Super Punch-Out.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that'll work.
Well, if you're going to go, you're going to have some third parties in there, too. So
Super Double Dragon.
Yeah, Super Double Dragon. Good one. Super Castlevania 4 would be a really good one to have on there.
Legend of the Mystical Ninja.
Yeah.
And you know what? And you know what? They could put Street Fighter 2 Turbo in there, too.
No, yeah. I said Hyper Fighting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Although it actually wasn't called Hyper Fighting on.
Yeah, but that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to throw all the Donkey Kong Country games on there.
Would you put all three of them, though?
I would put the first. Yes.
I would put the first two, and that's it.
Yeah.
Third one, I can take it early, but...
I wonder, do you spend the money to get the licensing for Rock and Roll Racing?
No.
No, they probably don't do that.
No.
No.
Yeah. That's a shame, because...
Blackthorn,
yeah, they could get it.
Star Fox,
yeah, it's almost a given that has to be on there because that was.
Star Fox was a system seller.
Yeah.
Now here's one. Do you sweeten the pot by including the finished Star Fox 2?
If they're smart, yeah, you do that.
You could. They could. Yeah. I mean, if they want to regain some of the. Ill will. If they want to deflect some of the ill will they earned from Star Fox Zero, they would. They would be smart.
That would
to try
be
that.
A huge selling point, especially if it's like the NES Classic Edition and doesn't have downloadable games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a game they could offer up that's never been officially released before.
Yeah.
Right.
Play it. Handed to you by Nintendo for the very first time on the Super NES Classic Edition, Star Fox 2.
Yeah.
And
it's the actual finished one and not the patched one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd throw Kirby's Dream Land 3 on there. Gotta have a good Kirby game on there.
Yeah.
What else would you put in there? You could probably put Tetris Dr. Mario in there if you could get the license. That's the reason that it's not on the Classic Edition.
I wouldn't pay up for the license on that.
Yeah.
Honestly. However, I'll tell you what I would pay for the license on.
What?
Turtles in Time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a pretty good one to have.
What about Mega Man X?
Oh, of course.
X2, mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be the best one to put on there.
Oof. Yeah.
What else would you put on there? I would put ActRaiser 2. That's kind of probably one of my favorite SNES games.
Mm.
And a soundtrack that is just beyond belief. Of course, it's Yuzo Koshiro, so, you know.
That's what you get with him.
Yeah. Although I did like the first ActRaiser, because that was, you know, it had that city-building aspect of it, too, so that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I need to play that game again. That's a lot of fun.
First ActRaiser? Yeah.
Yeah. What else would we put on there? R-Type 3.
Good.
Mm.
I was about to say Breath of Fire 2.
Breath of Fire 2, yeah. Well, you'd have to clean up the localization of that one.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
But
it would be easier to get than the first one because you got two companies you'd be dealing with instead of just one. Also, while we're on the topic of shmups, UN Squadron.
Yeah, I remember a lot of people enjoying that one. It wasn't the greatest version of
it. Wasn't it? Would have really benefited from having the co-op, but it was still one of the definitive games in that genre for me during that time, and I still go back and play it and enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah, and if you want to go super obscure and put a shooter on there that's just completely mind-blowing, you put Space Megaforce / Super LSD on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
What? None of you guys have played this game?
What game?
Super LS.
Super what?
Super LS, also known as Space Megaforce.
Oh, I might have at some point.
It's one of the best vertical shmups on the SNES.
Yeah, the name definitely sounds familiar.
The shmup I had was Super Earth Defense Force.
I remember
Jellico that. Jellico 1.
Yeah, I remember that one too.
No.
Wasn't a great game, but
pissed me off since when the Earth Defense Force games came out.
Yeah.
Took the name back. It's like, fuck you, I know what Earth Defense Force is.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to go through... what I'm doing mentally is going through the Smash Brothers roster, trying to... Because if there's anyone in the Smash Brothers roster, you know, there are good chances are that they had a Super Nintendo game. There's a good chance that it'll show up on there.
About Contra 3.
Yeah. Well, Contra 3 wouldn't be hard to get if they can work with Konami.
Super Star Wars.
Ooh,
give them the shitty game.
No.
Well, it was shitty. It was just hard as balls.
Well, they put them on PSN, so they
definitely
have access to them now.
Here's, you got to have one that just goes way off, you know, crack simulation tier. I don't think it's going to be SimCity, even though Nintendo made their own version of it, and they'd still end up paying licenses on it.
Yeah.
But one that always shows up when you're talking about bringing back Super NES games, I think it was on both versions of the Virtual Console fairly early on, Romance of the Three Kingdoms 4.
Yeah. I like that series. I don't know why. It's just, it's fun.
Yeah.
I think that would find its way into the roster of 30. I'm not saying that as one of my personal picks.
Yeah.
But just going by what we've seen from Nintendo as far as bringing back Super NES games in the past, I think that would find its way into the mix.
Yeah.
How about something like Penalt Upon? Since you're not going to get the Tetris license.
Yeah.
Something I've actually been thinking of, because of Roy and Marth's inclusion in the series, I They'd have to put in the work for translation and all that. But
not really, because it's already been translated.
If you're going to say what I think you're going to say, then I'm completely on board.
Genealogy of the Holy War?
Yes!
Yeah.
Both of those games have been...
That and Mystery of the Emblem.
Yeah. Both of which have been fan-translated, by the way.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That would sell me one.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't even care if there wasn't eShop access. Those two games would sell me one of the... Oh, yeah. My God.
Honestly, just put Genealogy of the Holy War there, and you're set for life. So,
how about?
But yeah, that they both have. You said it. They both of those games have a full English translation that was already done.
Yeah.
What do you think about SimCity?
SimCity would be good, except they'd have to pay EA for the rights to that.
Romance of the Three Kingdoms 4. When I realized they probably wouldn't want to put out the licensing money for that.
Yeah.
It's not like EA is doing much with SimCity these days.
No, they managed to run that franchise into the ground.
They still like that paper.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we got about, I don't know, 20 or so games in there so far.
Mm.
Some interesting choices.
I think it's all really close to the truth of what would or will happen.
Yeah.
When the time comes.
Yeah. They've already shown that they can work with third parties to get some relevant licensed games in there.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that could definitely work. What else could be?
I still like Legend of the Mystical Ninja for this.
Yep. Yeah. It's weird because it's for the SNES in particular that generation. It was really owned by Nintendo, Square, Capcom, and Konami.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and some other companies here and there, but yeah, those were the ones who were really putting out the quality stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Faceball 2000. Yes.
Wow.
What?
That would probably be lost on much of today's audience.
Oh, yeah. Faceball 2000? Yeah. But yeah, I repeat what I said about Fire Emblem. You know, those two characters became famous here over in the U.S. and that whole franchise became a thing over here because of their extreme popularity.
Yeah.
In Smash Brothers. Yeah. So again,
well, they had
like,
to have context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they kind of strong-armed themselves into releasing some Fire Emblem games over here, and it just kind of
did really well.
It went better than anyone could have imagined.
Yeah. So, you know, Nintendo, if you're listening, give us Genealogy of the Holy War. Your work's already been done for you. All you need to do is put it on the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even care if they just put it on the Wii U eShop. I'd buy it.
Yeah.
Just give us the game.
Yeah. And if you're going to do that, please actually pay the fan translators who actually did the work for you, because if you don't, that would be very sleazy. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it would be a dick move and probably very prosecutable.
Yeah.
So, what about the N64 Classic Edition?
Well, that would be something.
I think the two launch games are a given.
Yeah.
Super Mario 64, Pilotwings 64.
Yeah.
Also Star Fox 64.
Star Fox 64 would have to be on there. Mario Kart 64 would have to be on there. You know, GoldenEye would have to be on there, but it's impossible for them to get that license.
Yeah, that's not
struggle to get 30 games on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you could go down to 20 and still have it be very good.
Yeah.
I think Wave Race 64 you have to put.
Ocarina of Time.
Yeah,
that's has to go game. On there. And Majora's Mask, too.
Yeah, I think they'd both end up on there, probably with the Master Quest.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Put on there.
Probably throw Mario Party on there.
Yeah.
And the first Smash Brothers.
Yeah, the first Smash Brothers would probably be good to put
on there. F-Zero X.
Yeah. Well, you don't put any of the Castlevanias on there because they were bad.
No. So. Yeah, they suck.
I mean, they put Castlevania
over the resellers.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 wasn't bad. It was stupid, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
What else we put on there? Well, we haven't talked about any of the third-party ones yet. That's the problem. Third-party support for the N64 was not great.
Oh, it was
Kirby 64 goes on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Mario Golf, Mario Tennis, or yeah, Mario Tennis.
I would say Diddy Kong Racing, but oh, that one's got a lot of rare characters on it.
Do you tap one of the Turok games to fill the golden eye spot?
No, I don't think they stand. To be very honest, yeah, well, yeah. And you can't even have Perfect Dark because, again, rare.
Yeah.
So what do you... I mean, you have to have a multiplayer shooter on there because that was... Even looking past GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, that was a thing on there. What do you tap?
South Park 64.
That would just be trolling. Yeah. Spend the money for that license.
Hexen was on there.
Hexen, yeah.
Quake 64.
Quake is good. It wasn't exactly a defining N64 title, but it would fill the role as needed.
We got Tetris Paper Mario that needs to be on there.
Yeah, Paper Mario.
1080,
yeah. How about Tetrisphere? I think they could get away with that one.
You could.
Yeah.
We got on the N64. That
Sin and Punishment.
Yes.
Yeah. They could manage to pull that one off. Well, they have it on the Virtual Console, so yeah. I don't see why they couldn't get it.
They've Star got Fox a ROM 64. They can plug in.
Yeah. Star Fox 64, we mentioned.
Maybe get a Rogue Squadron on there.
Oh, damn. You brought up...
I would say if you did any Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire would be a good place to start.
Yeah.
They, I think you brought up Episode 1 Racer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could probably get away with that one, too.
Yeah, you brought up Sin and Punishment. That means treasure, so Mischief Makers.
Yeah.
Solid.
There's a
game. Oh, at this point, Treasure is kind of a shell of what they were before.
Yeah.
They're kind of a holding company at this point.
Yeah,
but those old games still hold up. So.
Yeah,
but
and they do
licensing
like money.
Them is another thing altogether.
Yeah, well, this is Nintendo. I'm sure they can manage. It's just whether they can, whether they want
to
actually...
They have to visit a random office in the middle of Japan.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And actually pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, it's, Top Gear Rally, I think you have to put that one on.
I can see that.
Yeah. Unless, Well, unless you have, like, Mario
Kart. A lot of the wrestling choices we could do.
Yeah. WWF.
You don't really go wrong with any of those, but licensing would be a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do you... Yeah. There's really no reason to put the N64 version of Resident Evil on there.
No.
Not really.
It wasn't that great.
But it is the kind of game that would end up on something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Let's just address the elephant in the room. The NES Classic Edition has Pac-Man and Galaga on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are not the versions of Pac-Man and Galaga that you know and love.
No.
But they're the versions that many played.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember playing them. So.
StarCraft 64.
No.
Eh.
Wouldn't make any sense to put that in. It was technically a brilliant game. Didn't play all that great, though.
Nope.
Still fill in spaces.
Yeah.
Fill it with names that people would know.
Yeah. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3.
Throw Ridge Racer 64 on there.
That's actually not that bad of a choice.
It fits.
Yeah, it fits. It wasn't the greatest Ridge Racer in the series, but... Hey.
It's a name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a name.
Yeah. Sightbike 64, you could put that on there. Is it me, or is like the N64's library mostly made up of platformers and racing games? I think that's
licensed
what it
games.
Yeah.
Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Puzzle League.
Ogre Battle 64.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll take it.
If you're going to tap Enix, hell yeah. Quest 64. No thanks.
Nope.
Let's not do that. Especially if you're putting Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask on there. You really don't need Quest 64.
You do not need that.
Yeah.
Maybe Mystical Ninja 64.
Yeah, could get away with that. Definitely. Mega Man... What? Oh, Mega Man 64?
No.
You probably put Namco Museum 64 on there and get all your Namco stuff.
Yeah.
It is the kind of game that would end up on there.
Yeah.
If we're completely honest.
Kind of would. But if you were going to do that, Robotron 64 would actually probably be a better choice because that was a really good game.
Yeah. brutal, but good.
Yeah. Also had great music. Just point that out.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to go purely into wishful thinking territory on this one.
All right.
It wasn't technically brilliant, but it was a fighting game that ended up on this and only, I think, one other platform. And it was more or less defined by the N64 version, Mace the Dark Age.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're going to put that on there, that's actually the version that you'd want, because the PlayStation version was pretty chunky.
Oh, I never played the PlayStation version, so I have nothing to compare it to. But I think your fighting games are very slim selections on the N64. Yeah. You're not getting Killer Instinct.
Nope.
No, you're not getting Killer Instinct.
None of the Mortal Kombat ports were noteworthy.
Yeah.
That kind of slims down your selections, and I think it comes down to Mace the Dark Age.
Yeah.
Mace the Dark Clay Age. Fighter 63 and a third.
You know,
it's
that's
either going to be it's Mace the Dark Age, it's...
You don't touch War Gods with a 50-foot pole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Bio Freaks. Hmm. So...
Actually, I don't think Mace the Dark Age ended up on any console other than the 64, to be honest. I know War Gods was on 64 and PlayStation, and so was BioFreaks, but I don't think that Mace ended up on a PlayStation.
Mace was on PS1.
Yeah?
Hmm. Yeah.
Blah. Well, I want to play that sequel to that game. Maybe another realm should do that after Injustice 2. Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, Mace 2 happened, didn't it?
Nope.
Never got released.
There was never a sequel.
Work started on it, but it never finished.
Right.
I could have sworn I saw the box art for it and everything.
Nope.
Never got to it. Unless we got. Nope.
That was a great era for, here's a list of upcoming games that are never going to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you saw it like GameStop?
Yeah.
Get your pre-orders in now. For Animal Crossing on the 64.
Earthbound 64, pre-order it now. Still waiting. Well, I think that's kind of about all we could really think of for this.
Yeah.
Nintendo, are you starting to see a problem here?
Yeah, the 64, yeah, it didn't.
It would hit with a thud.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a shame, because a lot of the defining games of the 64, they can't actually have.
Oh no, there wasn't a PS1 version. I saw advertisements for a PS1 version. I know that much.
Yeah, well, I don't think it never shipped.
Right.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah. So if you want,
I'm remembering Mace, things wrong.
Hey, we're getting old. That kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I guess we could speculate a little bit and see what we'd actually put on a GameCube one, because that should be actually easier.
Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion, Wave Race Blue Storm, Smash Melee, which would be a license to print money.
Yeah.
Super Mario Sunshine.
Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing.
Metroid Prime.
Star Fox. Well, no.
Both of them. Star Fox Adventures I would put on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Assault, you could leave it out.
Bomberman Generations.
Yes. Mm. Put that on there.
Mega Man Network Transmission.
Yeah.
What was that one JRPG? Sky Pirate one.
Skies of Arcadia?
Legends. Yeah.
Yeah, you tap Sega on that. They totally...
And Sega's
totally
friendly. This version of Sega would not just say, yeah, we agree to Sega. Fuck yes, count us in.
Yeah, you want Monkey Ball too? Hey. I think you actually should include a Monkey Ball, because that was a great game on that system.
I would say Pikmin 2.
Hmm. Pikmin 2, yeah. F-Zero GX, you got to put on there.
Not the first Pikmin?
No, because I think
Pikmin
2 was...
One, it's going to be the second one.
Yeah, because I think Pikmin 2 was a stronger game overall. So
yeah. Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Do you find a way to sneak F-Zero AX on there?
Oh, of course.
Uh-huh.
Chibi Robo.
All you need to do to get F-Zero AX is Game Shark code.
That's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're going to just include that as a cheat, and they're good to go.
Oh, man.
You go Wind Waker and Twilight Princess?
Yeah.
That's actually a tough choice. What would you put on there? If you have to limit yourself to one Zelda game?
Put Wind Waker. Limit it to Wind Waker.
If you have to limit yourself to one, put Twilight Princess.
The three of us are Wind Waker and you're Twilight Princess, so... yeah.
Well, no, I could be convinced. You could convince me of either one. It was the superior version of Twilight Princess.
Though now it's the Wii U version that's the superior version
of that. So,
And they're probably still trying to sell it too, so that might make the decision for them.
Yeah.
And you get Paper Mario.
Paper Mario, yeah. Thousand
Year Door.
Yeah, you gotta get
Cubivore.
Okay.
You want the weird Japanese stuff on there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was a Fire Emblem game for the GameCube, too, wasn't there?
Well, no, just one.
Yeah, just one.
You can put that on there.
And Chibi-Robo, Battalion Wars.
Double Dash.
Yeah.
Of course, that's kind of a given. It's a Mario Kart game.
Yeah, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit on the GameCube for something like this.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing that might cause some indigestion is Nintendo actually shelling out for storage space. They seem to not like that so much.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, flash memory is cheap, so, you basically need a 32 gigs worth of storage to make that happen. You probably fit all of those games on there.
Yeah, if you get Capcom on board, you get Beautiful Joe, maybe RE4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Depends on if you go this with a teen rating as the max.
Yeah, that would be a sticking point, wouldn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't think they'd want to release one of these mass market mini consoles and have it get stuck with an M rating.
Yeah.
So that also screws Mace over as well on the N64.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ratings.
Yeah. Damn kids.
We don't care, but they do.
Yep. So
you could do Rogue Squadron 2.
Rogue Squadron 2, yeah. I think that would actually have to be on there because, that was one of GameCube's greatest games, and it was a launch title.
Yep. All right.
Well, no. Rogue Squadron was a launch title. Rogue Squadron 2 was not.
Rogue Squadron was 64.
Yeah, Rogue Squadron 2 was Rogue Leader. That was the GameCube launch title.
Okay, I remembered it right the first time.
Yeah.
Burnout?
On the GameCube?
Put Burnout on here. Burnout 3 or something like that.
Yeah, I guess we could. No.
Burnout 3 find its way to the GameCube?
It was on everything, I think.
I don't even remember Burnout 3 for the GameCube. I remember the second one, that was published by Acclaim.
Yeah, 1 and 2 were on the GameCube, but I'm pretty sure... Yeah, PlayStation 2, Xbox.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, the first two were...
Acclaim.
Because that was Acclaim. Probably put Burnout 2.
Yeah, Burnout 2 was the better one of those.
Yeah.
Burnout 1 was a lot more arcade racer than Burnout 2 was.
Obviously, BMX Triple X.
You put that in there as a hidden. You have to unlock.
Oh, we got Dave Mira Freestyle BMX 2. And if you know what you're doing. Simpsons Hit and Run. Probably too much license hell for that.
Yeah.
That was Vivendi, and they're busy taking over other companies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can't be bothered to license their stuff. They're a bit too busy eating up Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. If you tap EA for anything, I would actually say Need for Speed Underground.
Yeah. That was actually a good game. First one or the second one, though? That's the question.
That is a good question.
We go with Prince of Persia Sands of Time.
Yeah.
So I believe that included some sort of unlockable.
Gotcha. So there's a bunch of suggestions, Nintendo. Go ahead and make of those what you will. We've just outlined your next two product releases. So you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Don't screw it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, just push the magical button.
Yeah.
Make it now.
Yeah. Just make enough of them so people
can buy them. You know, it's holiday 2017.
Yeah.
Super NES.
Yep. If that. Might be June. You never know with them.
Not to the E3.
Yeah. Anyways, so I guess we're going to call it a week.
Yep.
Pretty good show. Had enough interesting discussions to talk about. So.
Yeah, that's going to pick up again now that the holidays are upon us.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. We didn't talk about the release of Call of Duty or Battlefield 1 or
anything. We'll leave that to other shows.
Yeah.
I did talk about...
People don't listen to the Day Zero update to hear about Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Although I did talk a bit about my time with Battlefield 1. So.
Yeah, which is good.
But,
hey, we're not anti-Battlefield or Call of Duty. It's just we don't really care too much about them. So there. All right. And with that, it's time to call it a show. So, as usual, I am Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And we'll see you next week.